See, Patty's been busy. She's singing, and you're reading scripture too, right, Patty? We'll give her a minute to get everything together. So before we share around the Lord's table communion, I'm going to share some words. I know God is going to speak today. So Patty's going to come and read from Matthew chapter 6. Listen carefully to the reading of God's word. Would you stand, please, while we listen to the reading?
Good morning. Do not worry. Therefore, I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. It is life more important than food, and the body more important than clothes? Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap, or store away in barns. And yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? Who of you, by worrying, can add a single hour to his life? And why do you worry about clothes? See how the lilies of the field grow. They do not labor or spin. Yet I tell you that not even Solomon, in all his splendor, was dressed like one of these. If that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow, is thrown into the fire, will he not much more clothe you? O you of little faith, so do not worry, saying, what shall we eat? Or what shall we drink? Or what shall we wear? For the pagans run after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own.
You may be seated. Thank you, Patty. One of the phrases that stands out every time I read that is, the pagans run after these things. The pagans run after these things. And I know that Jesus wasn't talking about the pagan motorcycle gang. He's talking about people that did not believe God, did not trust God. This passage is about worry. How do you deal with worry? None of you worry, right? Never worried? Here's one approach, and I quote, I have a mountain of credit card debt, one man told another. I've lost my job, my car is being repossessed, and our house is in foreclosure, but I'm not worried about it. Not worried about it, exclaimed his friend. No, I've hired a professional worrier. He does all my worrying for me, and that way I don't have to think about it. That's fantastic. How much does your professional worrier charge for his services? $50,000 a year, replied the man. $50,000 a year? Where are you going to get that kind of money? I don't know, came the reply. That's his worry. Certainly funny and foolish. I hope you don't deal with worry like that. It's foolish because it is man-centered. Man-centered. Does not deal with the real issues. So the question before us this morning is, how do you deal with worry? Jesus addresses this subject in this great Sermon on the Mount, what I call the Christian Manifesto, Matthew 5, 6, and 7. He addresses this very important subject here in chapter 6. He speaks directly to this thing, worry. That is a relevant subject for every person, Christians included. Now, before we go any further, you need to come on board with me. I'm going to ask you a very important question. Do you believe Jesus? You believe Jesus?
Amen.
Anybody here think Jesus lies? Are you all on board with me? Jesus speaks the truth. Do you think Jesus knows what he's talking about when he talks about worry? Or do you think, yeah, he doesn't live in 2017. He has no idea what I got to deal with. You think he's totally irrelevant? No. He knows what he's talking about. Jesus is going to teach us about God's cure for worry. We could call it the Jesus way, the Jesus method. I love these commercials about weight loss. I won't mention all the names, but you know, there's a zillion of them out there. If you do this, you do this, you buy this, you eat the food, you take this, you don't do that. And you got all these different methods for weight loss. Whew, thank the Lord I've never tried any of them. I hope no one's thinking you need to. Now I'm in pretty good shape. Back to worry. The Jesus method for worry. What this comes down to, though, is will we really listen to Jesus? Will we really listen to him? I'm going to break it down for us into what I will call three dosages of God's cure, God's prescription, the Jesus method for dealing with worry. Three dosages, as if we're looking at some type of sickness, and we go to the doctor, and the doctor says there's a problem, and here's the prescription. So here's the Jesus method for dealing with worry. Dosage number one, if you believe Jesus. Worry is a sin, and you have to confess it as a sin. It means that we confess, I am sick. It's the opposite of denial. The first step in dealing with an illness is to admit that we are sick. Consider the cancer patient. Consider the substance abuser, the drug addict. Half the battle begins with this whole matter of denial. I am not really sick. I don't have cancer. I am not addicted. I have no addiction problem. So denial has to be dealt with. And here's Jesus teaching us that worry is a sin. Now let that register. See, one of the toughest steps to take, if we're going to do it Jesus' way, is to recognize, to confess, to admit that worry is sin. I am sick. I got a problem. See, as long as we deny it, we're never going to experience God's cure. Worry is a sin. Worry is a sin. And why can I be so emphatic? Because Jesus says in verse 25, do not worry. And to disobey him is sin. Amen. See, worry violates the very will of God. The very will of God for our lives. It calls into question, and this is a very significant theological issue. It calls into question God's sovereignty and God's perfect will and God's perfect wisdom. The worrier, what he does, I don't care if you're professing to know Jesus Christ and you're born again and you're saved and you're going to heaven. The moment you slip into habitual worry, what you're really saying is, I'm living as a practical atheist. I really don't believe God. I can believe God to get me to heaven, but I can't believe God for all of this that's going on in my life. Worry violates the very will of God and violates the perfect wisdom of God. It's a sin, and it needs to be confessed as that. And then we take that step to repentance. The 180 degree turnaround from worrying is to say, I'm going to listen to you, Jesus. What do you have to say about this? I admit I'm sick. I admit I'm living in sin. I admit that worry is a sin, and I confess that. First dosage. Second tablespoonful, if you please, of dosage is to believe that I cannot fix the problem. Worry can't fix itself, and I can't fix it. Worry is a terminal disease. It cannot fix or cure itself. And if I am struggling with worry, I can't fix it. I can't cure it. Home remedies or other religious beliefs do not work. And why? Because worry is self-centered. It is man-centered. Worry in my self-centered way to find a cure, what happens is it does nothing but run in circles, and it's always coming back to, I will work this out. I will fix it somehow. And you go in that circle, and you're caught in that vicious cycle. The key word, the key downfall word in this Matthew 6 passage, and if you listen to Jesus' words, it comes out like neon lights and is the whole matter of I, me, myself. Listen to Jesus. And he's speaking this to us as individuals. What you will eat and what you will wear, you by worrying, can you add a single life to your life? See, it's all about you. It's all about the I. It's all about me. Worry can't cure, it can't fix itself. The issue of this passage focuses on food, drink, and clothing, or / shelter, if you please, the very basics of life. The basics of life. Food, drink, clothing, or shelter. Everyone needs these things. And if we do not have them, we will die. Now, you wilderness survival guys, how long can you survive in the wilderness without shelter? Blizzard conditions. It's the rule of the threes. 3 hours. How long can you go without food? 3 days? 3 weeks? How long can you go without water? 3 days. How long can you go without oxygen? 3 minutes. So Jesus here is talking about the basic essentials of life to live. Food, clothing, shelter, drink. What he's doing here is he's teaching us something very radical and yet wonderful. Not to worry over the basic life essentials to live. Not to worry about that. We need them, but all of our worrying does nothing to provide them. Now, let me pause because somebody is going to jump on this. I hope it's none of you. He's not anti-work. He's not anti-occupation. He's not anti-going out and having a job and working. That's not the issue here. He's talking about where are all these basics that we need, food, clothing, drink, shelter, going to come from? It's in the context that there will be situations in life where we cannot depend upon our own ability to work, make money, and provide the essentials. Honestly, what do you do if you wake up one morning and you find yourself in Siberia with nothing? What do you do? What do you do if you wake up some morning and the economy in the United States and maybe even the world has collapsed? What do you do? Really, what do you do? What do you do if you go to your bank and there's no money? Your savings account, all of your investments, your IRA, etc., your stocks and bonds, they're gone. They're worthless. You have no money in your safe at home and no money in your pocket. Nothing. And the cupboards are empty and everything is gone. What do you do? See, there can be situations in life beyond our control and our ability to provide. That's what Jesus is concerned about here. What if you wake up and you find yourself in jail because of your faith in Jesus Christ. Connie mentioned this woman over in, I believe it was in Somalia. I mentioned when I spoke about persecution a couple of weeks ago that the Christians in the former Soviet Union, when the husband may have been taken off and put in prison, and there was no income. There was zero income. What did the wife do? She trusted the local church to help her. What do you do if you wake up and you find yourself, both husband and wife, in prison, in jail because of your faith in Jesus Christ, and you have nothing? What if the government has come in and taken away everything? And you say, that will never happen here. Don't ever say those words. It will never happen here. I challenge you, don't ever say those words. There are situations in life beyond our savings. They're beyond any aces we keep up our sleeve. Just in case God fails, I have this ace up my sleeve. What do we do? I'm telling you, worry fixes nothing. What we need to do is we need to go to the doctor. We need to go to Dr. Jesus and do it Jesus' way and Jesus' method. Victory over worry will be won or lost right here. Will we do what Jesus says? Honestly, will we do what Jesus says? And I asked as we began this subject, are you on board with me that we will listen to Jesus? See, there can be no compromise here. There can be I'm going to do it my way. Either Jesus is speaking the truth or he is a liar. There can be no compromise. Does Jesus really know what he's talking about when it comes to finding God's answer for dealing with worry? Really? Now, we're going to take the third and final dosage, the final step. What does Jesus tell us to do? Here's what he says. Take my medicine. Trust me. Well, you're going, whoa, whoa, whoa. It can't be that simple. Yes, it is. He's saying, trust me. You're sick and you go to the doctor and the doctor says, and I'm going to use this on purpose. He says, you have to quit smoking. You have to have surgery. You're going to have radiation. If you want to be cured of that lung cancer, you've got to do what I say. Quit smoking. You're going to have surgery. You're going to have radiation. And you go, well, doc, I don't like you. I'm going to go get another opinion. Okay, you go to another doctor and he says the same thing. Jesus' instructions for taking God's cure for worry is faith and trusting his ability to provide what we need. Bottom line. Faith or trust is resting in his promise to meet our needs for the basics of life. He promises to meet our needs. One more time. He promises to meet our needs. Oh, would I like to end right there and say, end of sermon, let's pray. But I can't. Because that's where the rubber meets the road. That's where the rub comes. Do I really trust him to meet my needs? It's a radical thing. It's quite radical, but it's quite wonderful. And here's the problem. I trust Jesus to meet my needs, but I don't like what he provides. My needs are a little different than his. He thinks these are my needs, but these are my needs. And I don't like what he provides. Now, I have preached on the five loaves and the two small fish. You know that story in the Gospels where is with these 5,000 people and they need food. And he asks his disciples and they say, well, we've got this little boy with 5 loaves and 2 small fish. And Jesus breaks them and just feeds 5,000 men plus women and children. And here's the point. And they're hungry. And Jesus provides the bread and the fish. But no iced tea and no French fries. Did Jesus provide their needs? Absolutely. But no iced tea and no French fries. And we sit and we go, Jesus, I trust you to meet my needs. Food, clothing, drink, shelter. But I don't like what you provided. I want this. I don't like that beat up old rusted out Chevy. I wanted a whatever. I don't like the beans and the hot dogs. I wanted filet mignon. I don't like that 2-bit apartment that you gave me that's over top of a tattoo place. I wanted a 5-bedroom place with the 5 bathrooms. Do you get my drift here? Jesus promised to meet our needs. Not our standard of needs. His standard of needs. Worry comes when we refuse to take this third dose. I trust you, Jesus, that you know exactly what my needs are and what you provide is exactly what I needed. Now use the two-bit hotel or apartment over a tattoo place. It's quite possible that's where God wanted you to live because there was somebody downstairs that needed your divine appointment. And so we go, I don't like that. I don't like that, Jesus. But when we begin to pray, Lord, I trust you to meet my needs. I trust you to meet my needs. I don't want to worry. I don't want to worry about stuff. And he provides. And we go, I don't like it, Jesus. I don't like what you just provided. And the worry begins to come. There has to come a place, I think, in our lives as followers of Jesus Christ that we go, really, it is all about you, Jesus. And that was a perfect song, Patty. It's about your will. It's about what you know is best for my life. Your provisions are absolutely what's best for us. Not second best. The best. And it is amazing that he's talking about food and drink and clothing. Ladies, food, drink, and clothing. I am not here to pick on women because... But just kind of a cultural thing, you know. Women have to have the right clothes. And that's okay. I guess sometimes men do too, you know. I like that ZZ Top song, A Sharp Dressed Man. The pagans flee and chase after food, clothing, and shelter, drink. Would you rather have the best suit, the best pair of shoes, the best purse, the best dress from some place on the most expensive shop in Paris? Or would you rather have the shirt out of a salvation bin that God provided? You don't have to answer that. Because somebody's going to say, well, you can have both. Yeah, I won't deny that. But if you're praying for a shirt Or you're praying for a meal, and God sends you the shirt out of the Salvation Army bucket or the barrel. Say, Lord, thank you. Thank you.
Does health fit in death?
Yeah, it's directly tied in, sure. But he's certainly concerned about the basics of life, that we would survive. God's three doses, God's cure for worry, the Jesus method. Confess that we're sick. Worry is a sin. Acknowledge that worry nor myself can fix it. And I need to go to the doctor. I need to go to Jesus. And then what does he say? Take my prescription. Trust me. I promise I will meet your basic needs. Food. His standard of food. Clothing. His garments. And drink or shelter. Whatever he provides, he's promised to meet that. How are you dealing with worry? Worry is a sin. Get alone with God. And if that's dominating your life and you're worried and you're frustrated about worry, confess it as sin, repent, and learn to trust him. Let's take a moment to pray. Heavenly Father, we are before you this morning. And you know what's going in our hearts and our minds and our thoughts. We want to learn to trust you. You know what's best. You know what's best. Lord Jesus, I pray that your Holy Spirit will move mightily in these moments. That if there's worry, we will deal with it the way you want us to deal with it, Lord Jesus. We will confess it, we will repent of it, and we will learn to trust you. Visit us in these moments, Lord Jesus. Amen. We're going to have communion together. I'll ask the guys that will be assisting if they will assemble. The first Sunday of the month, we have communion together. I give some basic instruction, so bear with me. Our communion table is open. You do not have to be a member of Edinburgh Road Chapel. You do not have to be a member of our denomination, the Christian and Missionary Alliance. You do need to be a member of God's family. And it comes by your faith and trust that Jesus Christ is your Savior and Lord. You put your faith in him, you repented of your sin, and you want to live for him. Children are welcome to partake communion as long as they understand what they're doing. These elements represent the broken bread, the broken body, and the shed blood of Jesus. We do not believe that it's actual blood or actual flesh, but they do represent his blood and his broken body. I'm going to ask the guys if they will come. Bread of life. Jesus is the bread of life. He's the manna, using the Old Testament metaphor, the real manna that supernaturally came down from heaven. He is the manna. But we eat of him by faith. And partaking of this element, we're saying, Jesus, you're our life. Let's give thanks. Mark, would you pray?
Heavenly Father, Sovereign God, we thank you for your Son and for his sacrifice. We thank you that he voluntarily went to the cross just so that we could spend eternity with you. We just ask that you help us to remember and to focus and to keep you as our compass. In Jesus' name,
amen. 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 The men will serve. If you would just hold your portion when everyone has received, then we will eat and then later drink together. It's a testimony of our oneness. As we do every Communion Sunday, if you want to sit quietly, pray, speak to the Lord, meditate on his word, hum a song. feel free to do that. If you want to share God's answered prayer, He's brought healing in your body, share that with us. Just kind of keep it brief. After we have the cup together, I want a passage of Scripture read. Let's see, Jim Acker. It's from Psalm 116, 1 through 4. I can call on Jim. He won't mind doing that without. Psalm 116, verses 1 through 4. Just hold it. We're going to read it in a few moments, and I'll explain why. I don't want to embarrass anybody, so you don't have to respond. You can just answer to your own self, like, how many of you have ever worn a shirt or a dress or a pair of pants from the Salvation Army? Don't. Okay. I didn't want you to demonstrate that. But yeah.
I have more from there than I do from the side.
See, one of my very first suits. No, I bought a new suit when we got married, right, Con? I bought a new suit. Yeah, that was a long time ago. But I got a suit down in Pensacola, Florida, that I think was on a dead man. But you might be saying that's going a little too far.
Well, I couldn't take it with them.
Yeah. But I'd rather wear a shirt from Salvation Army that God provided, knowing that it came from Him. Juanita?
Yes, I want to say to everyone that I want to thank the Lord and thank everyone that has been praying for me. The neurologist and all the doctors that I've seen for that mini stroke that they thought I had, everything came back negative.
Awesome.
So I praise the Lord because they didn't find anything wrong. They just don't know what happened. Something happened, but there's nothing wrong. So I just praise the Lord because I know it won't happen again.
Amen.
God is good. And
amen.
He's always there for me, and He's healed me, and I believe that with all my heart. And I thank each and every one of you for praying. Thank you.
Jerry.
Pastor, yesterday when we were at the motorcycle event over in Manali, the four young guys that came at the end, they drove all the way from Deptford, New Jersey into Manali. That's quite a drive, Mm-hmm. And they were a little disappointed. They had got there late and they had missed the blessings. That's the first thing that they asked. Did we miss the blessings? And because they had broke down, one of them broke down, and they were able to fix their bike, oil up, whatever it was that they needed. It was a little a minor thing, I guess. They got there, and we told, yeah, the blessing was already, but prayer. We told them, hey, don't worry. Prayer is free, man. Pastor didn't pray. And the pastor did pray, and they were so happy.
Yeah, they were.
They were asked, do you guys, you know, want to be blessed, you know, even though we already had it? And they were so optimistic that they were going to be prayed. And the pastor prayed for them, and they were very happy. Young men.
Young guys.
And I was very grateful for that.
Yeah.
That we were there and the pastor was there to pray for all of us. And so, you know, the Lord does do things even though we may be late, but God is never late.
Yeah, right.
So, praise His name.
Amen. Yeah, there were some divine appointments on a simple little event like that. Guys? A very simple little matzo cracker. We do this about every month. There are churches that do it every week, and that's fine. Some do it once a year. But this little wafer represents the broken body of Jesus. And by eating it, we're saying our hope is in you, Jesus. Our hope is not in America. Our hope is not in capitalism or communism or socialism. Our hope is in Jesus Christ. And by eating that, that's what we're saying. You are my bread of life. Let's eat together. Jesus took a cup, that Last Supper, Passover meal, said that this cup was the cup of the new covenant, his blood. Ed, would you give thanks?
Dear Lord, the suffering that you did endure for us to have an opportunity, for us to say yes, I accept your gift of salvation, I accept your suffering. I accept the fact that you took my sin and the sins of the world upon you. You shed your blood, this example that we're about to partake.
Yes, Jesus.
We thank you, Lord.
Amen.
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 Amen. Men will serve you. It's really neat to have father and son serving communion. Both of these guys have been on a long journey. Ed's a little longer because he's the dad. 2 weeks, May 21st, we're going to hear Here's My Life, Mark Crabtree. We're going to share his story. You don't want to miss that. Later in July, we're going to hear from Carol Olnick. And then probably in the fall, October, maybe November, we're going to hear from Carolyn Javik. So those are the three, Lord willing, this year. But in 2 weeks, we're going to hear from Mark and hear how God's brought him on a great journey of faith and trust in him. Food and drink, clothing, Jesus, the bread of life, Jesus, the living water, Jesus provides the robes of righteousness. Honestly, I don't say this for drama. Really, what more could we really want? Hope. Oh, the world is so desperate for hope. But we have the greatest hope. There is life after death. There's life after life. As we know that life can be so short. But there is hope. Yes?
I would just like to welcome anyone who would like to try out the cell group at our house tonight. Everyone's welcome. 6 o'clock. This will be our last one for this year. We only have one more with the Ackers on the 21st, and I think Jeannie's will be off for the summer too.
Right.
Lakers is going to continue to meet over the summer, but the others will start again in September. But you're welcome to come to our home tonight, 6 o'clock, if you like. Parking's a little sketchy around the neighborhood, but I can manage.
Small groups are so vital to the life of the Christian, certainly the life of a church. We need each other. We need each other. Thanks, Pat. Okay. Those of you that know me, you know I like grape juice. I live on grape juice. Don't like water, but I like grape juice. Jesus shared that cup, probably the third cup of the four cups that were given at the Passover meal, the cup of redemption that we have been bought. We've been bought with a price, the precious blood of Jesus. This cup of grape juice, or some churches use other juices or wine, it represents his shed blood. The most powerful significance in drinking it is to acknowledge that we are sinful, that we needed redemption. We needed our sins to be dealt with. And by drinking that, that becomes the confession. I am a sinner. The juice does nothing. It's the confession. It's the faith in Jesus through your shed blood. And my faith in that, I have forgiveness. I have cleansing. If that's your testimony, let's drink. We have some empty things. The men will collect your cups. Now, if you read the Gospels, after the Passover meal, that Last Supper, what did the disciples do? Yeah, they go out to the Mount of Olives, but before they do, it says they sang a hymn, they sang a song, they sang a song of praise. Now, just pause for a moment. Can you imagine Jesus singing? It was quite common. Do you know what they sang? Passover meal was very traditional that they would sing possibly four psalms or others. Psalm 1, 15, 16, 17, and 18. So Jim's going to read from Psalm 1, 16, only verses 1 through 4. That very possibly were songs that Jesus sang after that Last Supper. Jim, would you just stand and read that for everybody to hear? Just the first four verses.
I love the Lord, for he heard my voice. He heard my cry for mercy. Because he turned his ear to me, I will call on him as long as I live. The cords of death entangled me. The anguish of the grave came upon me. I was overcome by trouble and sorrow. And I called on the name of the Lord. O Lord, save me.
Amen. They sang a hymn and they went out. Let's go out.